the book by Isaiah, chapter number 14. During the night last night, I'm asking everybody here, give me your undivided attention for the next few moments of this service. Tell you in Judgment Day we'll give an account of how we act during the preaching, during the singing, during the praise. Amen. Preacher preaching one time, preaching said to the lost and said, a young woman laughed at him and said he spun around on his back of his shoe and pointed his finger in her face and said, you will not laugh in the presence of God and get by with it. The way home, his wife said, honey, do you know what you did tonight? You told the deacon, one of the best men of our church, you told their daughter that God would kill her for laughing. Tears dripping off of his chin, he said, honey, I didn't say that. God said that. He said, I said it before I even knew what I was saying. The next Sunday night, phone rings in the middle of service. When the man answers, they ask for the pastor. He goes to the phone and they say, this is fact. I give you preacher's name. I can get you his number. Walk to the phone and the emergency room hospital said to him, please, can you bring so-and-so? Don't they go to your church? Can you bring them to this emergency room? Said yes, and as he walked in, they looked at the family and said, they'd done all we could do, but it's over. She's dead. The doctor called the pastor to the side and said, I don't normally do this, but since I know you, Brother Morse, said, I want you to follow me down the hall, and I want to show you even how this young lady died. Said she did not die from the car wreck of broken bones or internal injury. Said, matter of fact, if somebody could have got to her in time, she would have been all right. Said nothing would have been wrong with her. Said she was only pinned underneath and could not move her hands nor her feet. Said, but how she died was hot motor oil ran out of the motor down onto her nostrils and her mouth, and she drowned. Her lungs are full of motor oil. You don't laugh at God and get by with it. You don't even laugh in His presence and get by with it. Amen. Now I feel like going this way, or I wouldn't be going this way. I was trying my best to go another route than what I'm fixing to go. I was. But all night long in the middle of my sleep last night, you're going to think I'm crazy. Amen. But I woke up myself preaching to myself. Amen. And the words rolling over in my mind and in my heart all night last night. What I'm fixing to preach to you tonight. Amen. On hell is waiting for your next move. I woke up and I thought, oh God, help me. Went back to sleep and I woke up again saying, hell is watching and waiting for their next move. Oh, it's hope the Lord help me a while. Isaiah 14 and 9 tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Whether you realize it or not tonight, we're engaged in probably one of the greatest battles of all time. Hell is fighting harder than it's ever fought to stop the preaching, to hinder it between the pulpit and the pew. He is trying his best to stop the effectiveness of preaching. So we are on the battlefield. All hell's raging on one side, and all of heaven is pulling on the other side. So if you've ever prayed for me, and you've ever prayed, you need to pray tonight. I don't feel like we're in a casual service tonight, I'll be honest with you. We are in a service that is going to determine, amen, destruction or some kind of judgment in somebody's life tonight. Somebody will either be turned away, amen, the fierce, amen, judgment, or either they will go on in their own way and do what they're going to do. Amen. I drove up on a campground. My brother had been backslid almost a year. Running, but yet staying close to the church. It always seems like that happens. You watch backsliders. Sometimes I've seen them where they go right out right then. But then I have watched them. Those that have backslid over the years, they have been more that linger right around just enough in case they can jump back in or they can run to the altar. Amen. But there comes a time that the hand of God removes His mercy and takes His hand off of their lives and says, I'm going to allow the enemy to do whatsoever he pleases to do in their life. You're praying for me tonight, aren't you? Amen. Amen. Put up on the campgrounds in the spirit. We was laughing. Me and my brother was laughing. He has not been to a camp meeting with me that year. He drove up with me, and him and Brother Norman Smith. Brother Norman Smith likes him. Him and him is pretty good buddies. We drove on the campgrounds, and I was laughing, talking, you know, just having. And as soon as I drove on the campgrounds, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart. As I turned to open the door at Chatham Camp Meeting, Reynolds, Alabama, amen. When I opened the door and put my foot on the ground, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, tell your brother that he will pray in this meeting, or either I will let him go to be what he wants and to do what he wants, and I will take my hand away from his life. I turned around in the car, and my brother knows I did not play around like that. I turned around and pointed my finger, and I said, buddy, the Lord just spoke to me. Tears swelled up in his eyes. Lord, you crap preached that camp meeting, preached on Wednesday night. On when do you get saved? When do you get saved? When tragedy comes, do you get saved? No. Amen. That does not save people. Tragedy does not save people. Said, amen. But when do you get saved? Now's the time to pray. Now's the time to give your heart to God. Down the sawdust trail, my brother ran in the sawdust camp meeting, laid himself on the altar and wept and cried for over an hour. Norman Smith reached and grabbed a hold of his head, wept and cried right beside him. Amen. And begging him to pray. I couldn't even walk to the altar for crying and praying. Amen. But he cried, but he never gave his heart to God. There is a difference in crying and praying and giving yourself to God. Amen. Amen. Hello? Amen. You're going to talk back to me tonight, aren't you? Amen. I don't feel like I'm all alone right here this minute. Amen. Needless to say, amen, as we drove away on Friday, amen, and oh glory, amen, drove away, got the news, my mother and my stepdad, amen, both got locked up in jail on Friday evening. Amen. Feuding and fighting. Amen. With another family in our town. Amen. The judge put them, amen, in jail. Amen. With all of that, Amen. Riding home, we and my brother talked. Amen. And I said, did you get what you needed? He said, I don't know. Amen. And when we got home, within 2 weeks, he moved to my father's house. Amen. And within another 2 to 3 weeks, amen, joined up with the wrong crowd. And within less than a year, amen, he has went deeper than he has ever in his life. Ran away from home. Nobody could find him. I tell you, there comes a time God takes his hand off of our life. Amen. Oh God, for you to say, leave me alone. Don't talk with me, God. Don't mess with me, God. Quit dealing with me right now, God. I don't want you. Leave me alone. Oh, the danger. You don't realize exactly what you're doing. Amen. Pray for me, mamas. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 14 and verse number 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nation. Like a party or a welcoming party into the depths of hell. Oh God, help me just a while. Luke chapter number 15, we'll also be reading tonight. Amen. Verse number 3, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doeth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep which was lost. I say unto you that there likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Please stretch your hand and say, Holy Ghost, please help that preacher tonight. Amen. Raise both your hands and please ask conviction to fall in this house greater than we've ever had it before. Oh God, we need you tonight. Please move. Please move. All of hell is out against this tonight. I feel an engaged battle between us. Oh, your spirit and hell. All of hell with all of its forces. Not willing to give up one, but we come out against it in the authority of the name that's above every name. The name of Jesus Christ. The church said, amen. And amen. Hell is something that we very seldom preach anymore. Hell is something that does not fear. People do not fear anymore. We can tell that by the way the world has gone, the generation that it has gone, this generation. Amen. I thought today, amen, as I got one of the greatest honors, amen, of my life, I felt like, amen, to get to stand on the steps of the Capitol, this United States of America today. Miss Savage took me to Washington, D.C., and I had a time. But as we was there in Arlington Cemetery, even on the busload with all them people, there was some young boys there, amen, and I couldn't help but think, you know, I got in the truck and I told Brother Savage, I said, really, we are not reaching, amen, America, are we? He said, we are not even reaching a fraction, amen, of America. Amen. In all of my preaching and my traveling and all that I am doing, amen, to reach the lost in this last day, I am not even reaching a fraction of 1/10 of America. Oh God, help me, Lord. And anytime I'm around a big crowd like that, it makes you realize, because so often we get trapped in our own little society, in our own little world, and we think that this is it. Amen. I'm that way. Amen. I'm with the holiness crowd. Amen. Night after night, week after week. Amen. And this is all I see. Amen. And sometimes you think that's all there is. Amen. And that's all you ever see. So therefore you think that's all there is. But being in a crowd like I was in today, amen, I thought, oh God, how many folks that I am living among right this minute that is on their way to hell, amen, and nobody is reaching out after them. Amen. I'm going to preach to you just a minute, church. Amen. I'll tell you one of the causes of the reason why our young folks does not fear hell. And it's because we really do not fear it ourselves. Amen. Come on here now. When preachers can fill pulpits and preach on hell, amen, and not one tear roll down their cheek and their heart not be broken in a lump swell in their throat. Amen. Come on now. Amen. They look at us as if to say, do you really believe there is a hell, preacher? Amen. There's a story of a man, the chaplain, amen, that went down, amen, to pray with one of the prisoners as they led him to the lecture chair. And on the way there, amen, this chaplain reading, amen, Luke the 16th chapter, amen, about hell, amen, when the prisoner turned around and said, shut up, preacher! Do not read me that! That is nothing but fairy tale. Don't you even think about reading me any further than what you've already done. The preacher looked at him with startled eyes. Amen. Oh, it was just his job, amen, to do so. And the prisoner looked at him and said, for sir, you really don't believe that yourself. Said, because if you really thought within 10 minutes that my soul was going to plunge into the eternal bliss, amen, of a lake of fire burning with flames, amen, he said, you would be crying and you would be saying, please, please, turn around. But because there's no lump in your throat and there's no shaking in your voice, you must not believe it yourself. Oh God, help us as a church in this hour, amen, to fear the eternal, amen, damnation without God, without a Savior. Amen. Oh God, don't let us talk about hell, amen, without feeling the flame burning beneath our feet. Oh Lord. Amen. One Baptist preacher, amen, a guy told me the other day, he heard the tape himself. He said, oh God, give me a vision of hell. Give me a vision of hell. Let me see hell like hell really is. Show me. Oh, God. Are you praying for me tonight? Amen. Show me hell, God. Show me hell. Amen. He went on a 30-day fast and fasted for 30 days. This is a few years ago. Years ago. Amen. And fasted for 30 days for God to show him hell. Show me hell, God. Give me a vision. Amen. And after 30 days of fasting, amen, I couldn't understand this story. Amen. But this, I don't understand it. Amen. But this is God's way, I guess. Amen. 30 days after fasting and praying, show me a vision of hell. Amen. He was standing outside when the fire department flew by and another fire department. Amen. He said, you know, he said, I guess we need to go check and see. That's headed down to where my kids go to school at. We need to go find out, amen, what's going wrong. Said it's probably ain't nothing, but let's just go check it out. And as they followed the fire department, amen, a fire had broke out, amen, in the schoolhouse. Oh God, help me just a while. Amen. And the daddy jumped out. The preacher that had been fasting and praying jumped out and ran. And the cops held him back and fought him back. And he said, you don't understand. My baby boys in that fire. My baby boys in there. Amen. And about that time, amen, on the other side of the fire, trapped in all around by fire, amen, that daddy spotted his boy, and his boy looked at him crying, Daddy! Daddy! flames engulfed his son and burnt him. Oh God, help me just a while. Amen. And he fell to his knees. Amen. I want to tell you, God gave him a vision of hell. And the only reason why I could say God did what he did was they say that preacher, amen, speaks to young folks across the country and preaches hell. Oh God, help me just a while here tonight. Amen. I want to tell you, just as sure tonight, amen, as we are raising our hands and we are feeling the good presence of God, and you have testified that God has helped you, there is a place in eternity called the depths of hell, where men and women, boys and girls, young and old, plunge their eternal damnation without God. Where is heaven? A scoffer said. Where is heaven? And the reply from the preacher said, anywhere outside of heaven. Hallelujah. Anywhere outside of heaven. Oh, help me while I preach just a little while. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 A great rich man in a town in West, way out in the West, a rich man got very sick, so sick that he went into a coma and lost his mind. Amen. Finally, he come out. Amen. But his mind never came back. And for 7 years, he did not know his family. He did not know his wife. He did not know his boys. He did not know his girls. For 7 years, he just sat around. They had to put him in a chair, and he just sat. Till finally one day, after 7 long years, sitting in the room with his girls, he jumped out of a chair and said, "Thank God, I'm out of it at last. Thank God, I'm out of it at last." And he began to tell them this story. Amen. "For 7 years, I've been in a burning, horrible cavern of lake. Amen. A mountain of fire. I've been in hell. For 7 years, I saw millions. Amen. But could not find one friend. Amen. I was ever burning, but yet never consumed. Ever dying, but never dead. No light, no smile from God. I remember everything wrong I had done. I remember every word I had said. I remembered every time God's Spirit had dealt with me. I remembered every time if a message was preached. I remembered every time, amen, I remember the crucifixion, and I remember the blood, and I remember Christ died. Amen. Being preached to me that Christ died. But he said, amen, finally, I saw a light. Amen. And I came out of that. Amen. To come back. Come on here. For 7 years, God let that man's mind be in hell. In a scoffer, he said to all my friends who used to say with me, "There is no hell." Let me tell you, if my mind can be in that kind of shape, how much more is there an eternal place somewhere beyond the grave where men and women are burning in the eternal flames of eternity? I want to tell you tonight, the devil don't want this preached, but I come to tell you, hell's a looking for you. I said, hell is on your trail tonight. Hell's a looking for you. Hell, all night long last night, I kept hearing something say, "Hell's watching and waiting for your next move." And tonight in this service, amen, all of hell has engaged themselves. You say what you want to, but all hell has engaged themselves in this meeting from the very first night. Amen. Tuesday night, when I tried my best, amen, to preach, amen, and I couldn't feel like I got past this altar preaching. Amen. Come on now. And I felt, amen, a wall. Amen. Come on now. Amen. All of hell, amen, is wanting dominion in your life. Come on here now. Help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hell, amen, is on your trail, watching you. And the devil is slowly but surely has rocked you to sleep and got you so drowsy and got you so, amen, unconcerned. Amen. That when a preacher preaches to you to reach your ever dying lost soul, amen, you shut him off. You block it out. Amen. You pick up a songbook. Amen. You try to find something. Amen. To ease your mind. But I want to tell you tonight. Amen. Sir, young man, young woman, boy, girl, no matter who you may be, amen, you may get this away from you and shun it away. But my God, that's the hand of God that's a messing with you. That's the hand of God that's a trying to push you in the right direction. Amen. And then for you to say, let me alone, God. Move your hand. I want to tell you tonight, God will move his hand. Do you hear me? Oh God, oh God, oh God. God will remove his hand. If they ain't nothing you can do, up, get it back. And you've been a shunning it, and you've been a saying, leave me alone, let me go. I want to do what I want to, God. I want to walk in my own way. Amen. In the middle of the night last night, amen, the Holy Ghost said, amen, hell is a watching for their next move. Hell is waiting to find out which direction you're going to go. Tonight you're at a crossroads, whether you like it or not. You're fixing to go one way or the other. Amen. Oh God, help me. And hell's looking and saying, yes, come on. Don't listen to him. Don't pay attention to him. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. And the minute you take that step, there's a cheer going to go up in hell tonight. Do you hear me? The devil's going to say, yes, rejoice in hell. Oh, God, help me while I preach just a little while. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. You don't know it, sir. You don't see it. But standing from this side, I can see it in the spirit tonight. You're sliding. You hear me? You're sliding. But there's a hand reaching out to you tonight that's trying to get a hold of your fingertips. And you better not slap it away, because it's your only hope. Raise your hands and ask God to touch us. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Devil's playing with your feet. He's playing with your emotions. And you're following him. Young boy in my church. In the backslide. His mother went out and anointed the car. Prayed that God would be with him. That night he went off with a bunch of his buddies. He told me himself, he said, Brother Greg, I didn't drink. I didn't do drugs. I just went to be with them. He said, but they slipped something in my drink while I was gone. He said, Greg, I literally felt like I was dying. He said, I was falling in this deep, dark, dark hole. He said, I was reaching for stuff and I couldn't find nothing to grab. He said, and I was screaming, Mama, help me. Help me, Mama. Help me, Mama. He said, I come to. They had put me in the car, for they were scared. He said, I was screaming, My God, I'm going to hell, Mama. Help me, Mama. Help me, I'm going to hell. Them kids had never been to church much and they had never heard nothing like that. They threw him in the car and said, take him home. There's something wrong with him. He said he'd come through. They had their music on. Said he beat their radio in with his. But he said, Greg, he said, I felt like it was the end of my life. But it was just the hand of God messing with his life. Trying to get him to realize that where he was going and what was going to happen to him. This is the close. For the attitude you're having, amen, against the Spirit of God right now, amen, amen. Like, go ahead and move, God. You ain't going to touch me. You're not going to move me. You're not going to make me pray, God. Come on, that's the attitude I'm feeling coming back at me tonight. Massanova, you better get a hold of God. Go ahead, preach and preach. Go ahead, Spirit of God, move. But you ain't budging me off this bitch. You're not. Oh, God. Amen, Brother Lord Shoecraft preaching. Amen. And I'm fixing to be finished. Lord Shoecraft preaching out in Oklahoma went back to a young girl, amen, that had been raised in the Holiness Church.
and looked at her and said, "Please pray." She said, "Not tonight, preacher. Not tonight." He said, "Please, girl." Brother Shoecraft said, "Please pray. Please pray." She said, "Preacher, it's Thursday night. Tomorrow night's the prom. I've already got a prom dress. I've already got a prom dress, and I can't tonight. Because if I pray tonight, I know I don't need to go tomorrow night. And I can't." Amen. He said, "Please." She said, "Wait till Sunday morning. I'll be back, preacher." I want to tell you, she got fixed up in her pretty little prom dress. He said, went to the prom on the way home that night in an accident. He said, "She is not in hell yet. She is yet alive, but yet she lives in a nursing home." Amen. And it is in a vestibule with no mind left. And he said, "You can walk in the nursing home and hear her scream." These are the only words she says is, "Oh, I've got a prom dress. Oh, I've got a prom dress. Oh, I've got a prom dress." Why is that on her mind? I'll tell you why it is. The moment she hit that car head on, she remembered that she rejected God, and she pushed back the hand of God. And when she did, all because of a prom dress. And I don't know what you are playing around with tonight, and I don't know what you're pushing God's hand away for tonight. Amen. But it ain't worth going to hell over. And I'm finished. This great man had did great things for his master and his king in his business. Come back telling his friends what wonders he had seen and what glorious things he had beheld and what he had experienced. They said, "Man, you have experienced every place in the world there is to go. You've been everywhere." He said, "But yet there is still one more wonderful place I have yet to go." He said, "But I'm going there, and I would love to experience what it's like 5 minutes after you die. What is it like 5 minutes after you die?" Well, two boys, 16 years old, wrapped their wrists together with black electrical tape, Selma, Alabama, climbed to the top story of a building just being built, wrote a suicide letter, amen, and jumped off and plunged into death. And their suicide letter read like this: "We want to experience death, so we will ride the death horse into eternity, and wherever it takes us, hitherto we shall be." Amen. And I, come on now. Whoa. Amen. And a preacher got up and he preached. Amen. On boys, you took the wrong horse. Boys, you took the wrong horse. And I come to tell you tonight, young man, you're on the wrong horse. Come here. Come here, Tim. Hurry. Hurry. I'm finished. Amen. Come here. Amen. You're the horse. Amen. We get on this horse sometime as teenagers, sometime even younger, and we start riding. Come here, Brother Savage, hurry. Amen. Don't you stand there. You the preacher. Amen. And we ride. We come to church on Sunday morning. We say, "Stop, church time." And we sit, and the preacher preaches. And we listen, and we smile. Amen. And then we climb back on board and say, "All right, let's go." And we start riding. All of a sudden, it starts even getting a little bit time. Amen. And we come by church and we say, "Well, I ain't got time for him today." And we just keep on going. And the preacher keeps on pulling. And the preacher keeps on pulling. And we just keep on going. Come on, saints of God, pray for him. And we just keep on going. Till finally one day, come on now, we just keep riding. And we keep riding. He stops at first where we want him to stop. He stops at first. But then all of a sudden, amen, he gets to riding. And you go to saying, "Stop! Stop!" But he keeps right on going. You're saying, "Stop! I want off!" And he just keeps riding. And you say, "Stop! Get me off! Get me off!" Then we just keep right on riding. Amen. We're preacher. Preacher! Preacher! Get me off! And we just keep riding. "Stop! I want off! I want off!" cross, and he rides us right into eternity. He rides it right into eternity. But the preacher tonight in the Lord is reaching out. Help! 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 And tonight the Lord can get you off of that horse that you're on. Stand all over the building. Right now, you need to come on. Amen. Saints of God, you need to start praying. Amen. Amen. Hey, some folks rejected this tonight already. Come on. Amen. We need to start praying in the Spirit right now. We need to start moaning and groaning. Amen. And standing before God and I'm begging God for mercy. Oh, you better come on to this altar right now. If you ain't saved, young boy, you ain't saved, young girl, and you don't know if you are or not, you better run to this altar right now. Amen. You better run. Come on, we need to pray. Come on, everybody. Amen. Some of you need to come down this altar. Amen. And give up to God tonight. Amen. We need to pray for mercy. Oh, God.